I want to introduce Mariette. She's got a very long CV and we don't have time, but she's just amazing. She's a daughter of God. She's a sister and she's really a very good friend. I want to keep it at that today. She's got the Spirit of the Lord in power in her life and a beautiful, beautiful testimony. So please open up your heart and receive from her today what the Lord wants to impart. Mariette, baie dankie.
Yeah, I'm just excited for what God wants to do in this place today. And like I was saying now, God speaks to us in different ways. And the more we open our hearts, just going like, but Lord, just teach me. Just show me when it's you speaking to me. Because you speak to me all the time. I was so shocked a few years when I realized God speaks to me all the time. Because I thought it's like, you have to like at least fast or be a pastor or something, you know, to hear his voice often. And my mother tells me, stop joking, you're going to speak like that, and then I do it. That's why we must submit to our elders. But after realizing how often God speaks to us, I started saying, Lord, every time I think it's you, every time I think it might be you, I'm going to start responding to that word and see what happens to that thought that I had, to that message that I felt. And then I would just test it. Like, obviously, if the thought was like, this car you're walking past is actually yours, now you must break the window and take it, then I could obviously just measure the thought against what does the word of God say, don't steal. Okay, so that's not the Lord. But if the thought came up, and it's like you've got R5 in your bank account and you need to sow R4 to that mother that's a single mom that's fostering kids. Then I measure it up against the word, like what would the word's opinion be about in faith giving to people? Good idea, okay? And then the second question I would ask is, because sometimes we're nervous, is this me or is it the Lord speaking to me? So first question I ask is, does it align with the word? Yes or no? Second question I ask, if this wasn't God, what would the fruit be of me doing this action? So they're like, the Lord didn't tell me to give R4 of my R5 to the friend that's a single fostering awesome person. What's going to happen? She's going to be blessed. And I'm going to be blessed because the word says it's more blessed to give than to receive. And God says it's impossible to please him without faith. So my faith would have blessed God. Oh, that's also a good idea. I can't lose. I'll just do it. And then the more I started responding to those thoughts that I thought it was the Lord, I was shocked to find that God had been speaking to us the whole time. We're just sometimes not aware when it's him. Because I thought, obviously, it has to be like,
Mariette, you have to sow that money.
And sometimes God does speak audibly. Yes, in the weekend yesterday I was ministering at Awaken in Franschhoek. Yes, and the Lord did awesome things there. And the same Spirit of God is here. So let our expectation be here today for him to come and minister today. So yesterday, again, somebody testifying how God audibly spoke to her to get out of a very bad situation in her life. After years of people praying for her, she struggled, and then God audibly, a voice said to her to get out of that hurtful situation, and then she left. So God speaks to us in different ways, in different times, but most often I find that it's a thought that pops up into my heart, and a thought that goes along with that one is saying, this isn't you, this is the Lord. And then, like I said, test it to the word, and then to, like, what would happen if it's not God and I did it? And if you're still unsure, look at all these awesome faces. They are also practicing to hear the Lord's voice, so we can just bounce it off with somebody else. So, guys, there are awesome, exciting testimonies waiting to happen. And it's the testimony is not you waiting on the Lord. It's actually waiting for you just to go, oh, friend, you're on my heart. I'm going to send you a WhatsApp. Like, how are you doing? Praying for you. Is there something specific I can pray for? There's awesome testimonies waiting to happen because of you responding to the voice of God that's already speaking to you. So that's very exciting, and that was a bonus. Let us close our eyes and pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for your presence here. We are so excited. Do what you want to do, Holy Spirit. This is your ground. This is your ground. This is your time. This is your space. Lord, it's all about you. In Jesus' name, amen. I just want to confirm the word of the kids. So last night, after the awaken, impromptu visiting two of my friends that also loves Jesus. And at the end of the kair, my friend says, oh, he's reminded of a dream during the day, so he went for a nap, and let's pray for that. And after that, he said, starts praying, Lord, bless Mariet, bless what you are going to do tomorrow. So he starts praying for this service. David Krichi, most of you don't know. So, but you are connected to him through the Spirit of God, because it's only one body. And we look and sound different, but it's one body. And as he starts praying for this service, I get a pain in my, like a stingy type of pain in this left pinky. Punky in English, pinky, and in Spanish, purpley. So what happens is I do what I do when I don't know. I go, Holy Spirit, what does that mean? So I just ask. So I literally out loud go, guys, let's just quickly ask. Getting up, Lord, why am I? But I don't discuss it for a while. We can just somehow go over to prayer. Just the tip, or like use it, don't use it. So I'm like, Lord, why am I getting a pain? Holy Spirit, would you show me what that means? Now we're just waiting on it. And now I feel something with children, but I'm not sure. And David goes, might be with the kids, but that's probably wrong. And I'm like, no, that's what I felt. And we start praying for your children of this congregation. And then this morning you saw it saying, yeah. And then, driving in my car, driving after that, I still feel it. I was still like interceding. So let's just one more time, just ask Holy Spirit, what can we release through prayer over the kids of this congregation? Let's close our eyes. You can just pray. Oh, we love you, God. Thank you, God. You're so faithful. You're so mighty. You're such a clear communicator. We love hearing your voice. Thank you, Father, for your heart for these children. I say thank you, God, that your heart roars like a lion, God, over these little ones. Your word says if somebody leads one little one astray, Lord, how hectic it would be for them. So we just say thank you for your heart that's so strong, so protective over the children of this house, Father. And we declare the blood of Jesus is powerful, is powerful, is powerful. There's no competition. And we plead the blood of Jesus over every child of this house, God. And we just declare God is sovereign over their lives. The Lord, Lord, we just say, Jesus, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done in and through the babas of this house, Lord, on earth as it is in heaven. We just declare your sovereignty, your safety, prosperity, your blessing, your grace, your mercy. Thank you for your angels, God. We just declare it over these kids, God, old and young, over the school, Father God, where we're standing. We just declare the blood of Jesus and God's faithful protection over every child here, when they're at school, when they're not at school, awake and asleep. We just declare God's goodness, God's grace, God's mercy. Any little gates that are open, by faith we come and we just close it. Click, 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 click. We just say to those gates, close in Jesus' name. Thank you for your hedge of protection and that you repair any hedges that need repairing right now. Thank you that you sent your angels, God, to not only chase away the foxes, but to repair those hedges. We just stand in the gap and we just pray and we say, thank you, God. Holy Spirit, right now you're repairing those hedges, God, for every child, God, in this area, in this church, in this school. And we just give you all the glory. And God, if we need to pray for this again later, just remind us, God, we are so excited to partner with you and let your kingdom come in and through our lives here. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Yeah, so exciting to serve God. Like, I didn't even know I was going to bri there, and then we bri, and then Holy Spirit, and then, but God knows. There's no surprises. When something awesome happens, it's not a surprise to him. When something bad happens, I got a message yesterday, my friend, a bit shaky, saying, please pray, they're going to retrench. We just got a message. And I could just encourage us saying, Fred, definitely going to pray. And the good news is God knew this when you started working there a few months ago. It's not a curveball for him. The question for us is just going, okay, so God, what's the next step going to look like? Come and show me. But God is so good. He is so faithful. He rose Jesus from the dead. He can provide for us. He's just asking, would you believe in your heart? Because us believing, you know, us choosing to be vulnerable towards somebody is showing that you trust that person. You're not vulnerable in somebody's presence that you don't trust. So when somebody shares something with you that they wouldn't share with other people, what do you experience? Wow. So they obviously feel safe with me. They feel loved with me. So being vulnerable with one another and with the Lord, it is building trust and it creates more trust because out of the trust of his faithfulness, we start being vulnerable more. And then it just boils down again to getting to know him more. Because the more you know him, the more you trust him. But the more you trust him, the more you get to know him. So vulnerability is such a key that God gives us. into the ultimate, what is his idea of the ultimate, and that is being reconciled to God through Jesus Christ, having a relationship with him. And then quickly, just important, we can just close our eyes. If there's somebody here, we're going to minister at the end again, but just close our eyes, please. If there's somebody here, it feels like you are sinking underwater, and you have tried, and you can't get up, like you don't have like power in your bones left to swim, and it feels spiritually or emotionally like you are sinking underwater. I was there now for a while. But God wants to minister to you, wants to give you fresh breath. He wants to lift you out of that water. Won't you just raise your hand like while every eye is closed? Thank you. Anybody else? Just close our eyes. It's between you and God. Anybody, you feel like you're just sinking. And you know God is faithful, but you can see that you are, you're getting awesome. You're not getting breath because the water, you're going down. Thank you for those hands, God. And thank you like you brought a release in my life, God, that you will bring it to them. Would you show them, Holy Spirit, during this service, what does that look like, how and what? And thank you that it's mostly got to do just with surrender. But thank you that you show them what to surrender, whatever. And if they feel like they've surrendered a million times, like I felt before you brought the ship, thank you that you're still good and you know everything and you will connect the dots for them. So I just declare over them today, as he dag van vars awesome, today is the day of fresh breath of Jesus Christ filled air. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. And then, guys, I've got this word of hope. We're going to speak about hope now. Where do we get it? How do we lose it? How do we get it again? Where can we get it by accident, thinking it's from God and it's not? That, in other words, it doesn't last. Then you're even more frustrated because you're like, I just threw petrol in my tank, and after 5Ks it goes beep. You're like, I've wasted my time, my energy, my resources, everything, because how did I? So sometimes when we look for hope in the wrong places, and our heart is to seek it from God, but by accident we looked somewhere else, and that hope goes away quickly again, the frustration is even more, but God's grace is even more. So there's such good news for us today. And I'm going to start it off with a testimony that happened recently. The older I get, the more I realize recently means like a year or two ago, but because it feels recent, but it was like seventh gear life. But this is actually just like 2 or 3 months ago. So in groot mens term, it's yesterday. I was in Centurion, Pretoria, and I did not know a lot of people. I did a show the previous night, slept very little, so next day tried to work on my computer and a lot of different things to remember. I need to drive a few hours to get to Ermelo, where some of my family is, to go visit them, and so my brain is at a million places at the same time, and I stop at a shop because I just need to get a gift pack for the kids, my brother's kids, to just hoy all their gifts in this packet, so I can just give it to them. And as I run to get a charger, a cable, and that gift pack, I get it from this mall in Centurion that I've never been to before in my life, so everything is very foreign, macchiato. And I come back to my car, and I'm like, oh, look, my car looks horrible because I was driving between Cape Town and Joburg and other provinces in the north for shows and ministry. So I'm like, this looks horrible. Let me just, here's a rubbish bin. I'm just quickly going to throw this in there. So I'm like, yes, at least I won't look that horrible when I get to my brother's house. And I grab some of the stuff, and I quickly throw it in. But as I climb out to throw it in, my car goes bleep, 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 and everything locks. Everything with a key inside. My phone, my purse, everything. My, gelukkig, I've got the bag in my hand, the empty gift bag. I'm like, you suck. Plastic and McDonald's sack gevat. Anyway, like, you know, if I just took like McDonald's bag or just go and does he Kaiser's a gift wrap? It's the king's gift wrap. If you're clever, you can see it. You know, Kaiser's a clear. All these plans. Anyway, so I run around my car about 3 or 4 times because the sun is going to set in a while. Oh, like in 1 or 2 hours. I need to drive about 2 or 3 hours and there's no one here and I don't know anybody there. Nothing. So I check every door like 5 times in case an angel is like, I'm just testing your faith. Go test it one more time. It's going to be open. And it didn't happen like that. So in shock, I go to the nearest shop and ask, please, can I phone somebody? I'm like, Wichanje Bell. Can I phone somebody? Because I locked everything in my car. And the lady is like, Why? Who? I'm like, everything, I'm not from here, is in my car. Please, can I just phone one person from your phone, please? No, she doesn't know about this. Anyway, so after a while, she's like, you're allowed. Anyway, so long story short, 1 hour turns to 2 hours, turns to 3 hours. The people I'm trying to get to help me open the car, not getting, they are saying they're coming, but they are not coming. This thing is happening, that thing, like, now me and my new chummies, we are trying to break in also into my car, because I made new chummies, because they were there and they came. And then some people are like, what's going on? I'm like, no, I'm helping them, it's mine. How do you know I'm not lying? I don't know, please. Anyway, so it's this interesting situation and a bit sucky. And so at a stage we realize not that far away is a car, like a place that can open it up. And my budget was super tight at that stage for that month. And the guy's like, yes, it'll take him like 20 seconds. I'm like, oh, thank you so much. It's amazing. And like, no, it costs like almost 1,000 rand. I'm like, oh, it is lekker. Yes, I will stop doing this work. I'm going to become a locksmith right now. Anyway, so I'm just like, okay, the front. And I'm like, a few hundred rand is nothing for Jesus. That's like going, oh, maybe it's difficult for God to give me breath in 2 minutes. No, it's not a difficult one. So anyway, but so different things are happening during this day that I'm not mentioning that happened before. And so at a stage, in between all of this, I'm just feeling yuck, just this schara, this yucky feeling of just like stuff keeps on going wrong and the frustration. And now there's a storm coming up and some of it's like dirt type of roads in 3 hours that I have to drive there. And I'm like, yeah, this is very lekker. And then at a stage, I'm just going like, wait a minute, everything's fine. Jesus Christ is on the throne, and that's the question. Is Jesus Christ on the throne? Yes. And then the other question is Jesus Christ on the throne of my life? Because everything can go very smooth, and Jesus is not on the throne of my life. And then I cannot be at a worse place in my life ever than Jesus not being on the throne, whether you've got millions of spare keys or not. So I just reminded, and then in a moment I got to choose, like, what's actually the issue? Like, am I feeling yucky because the world is really ending? No. I'm like, I'm just frustrated and a bit disheartened and a bit feel like hopeless in the situation. But Jesus Christ is Lord. And then I was like, okay. And then because I submitted to that idea, I parted with the Holy Spirit's encouragement, which was there right next to the enemy going, yeah, and remember what happened earlier today and what's going to happen tonight? And the whole time there's like this battle. But I mean, Jesus already overcame the enemy. That's not the problem. When he said it was finished, what he actually meant was, it is finished. But now the question is, what will yourself and my, what will you and I, yes, my angels, what will we choose? Because now there's a battle. Will I submit to the enemy that wants to bring more fear, intimidation, confusion, hopelessness, despair? Now suddenly you get an attitude. Jesus, can you? Versus Holy Spirit, the whole time saying, but come to me. I've got hope. I've got fresh hope for you. I've got fresh hope. Come to me. I've got fresh hope. I've got perspective. You've got access to heaven. Everything that's in heaven. But like, would you come to me? What will you choose? Now the battle is there. What will you and I choose? So praise God for his grace. I'm like, Jesus on the throne. This is just a little bit of discomfort. This is nothing. And then another thought pops into my heart. Wait a minute. The word of God says, he makes all things work together for good for those who love him, called according to his purpose. So then I go, okay, Holy Spirit, will you please use, I'm walking in this mall place, getting back to my car, will you please use this very thing that happened today that I still don't understand what happened, but will you turn it around? I want a testimony. Somebody needs to experience something of Jesus because this happened. And I'm like, Fatsua. Yeah. Like, you know, this frustration and like stuff causing this. I'm like, high five, thank you. Was this your plan? Because this is what's happening. So I just go, Lord, I have to get a testimony. You have to turn this around. Use this. I'm putting my faith out. I want a testimony. Use it. I don't know how, but use it. And as I finish my sentence, I clearly hear him saying, derde in sister vertebra. Third and sixth vertebra in the neck. I don't have biology. So when it's like that, I don't even have to test whether it was. Because vertebra, I'm like, yay, Holy Spirit, definitely. Because I would have gone pain in the neck, you know. So I turn around, I go to the locksmith. I'm like, hi, guys. Anybody struggling with their neck? A lot of people work there. Nobody. Like somebody at home, we can pray for some of your family members. Nobody. I'm like, okay, cool. So now I'm walking through this mall with gazillions of people, okay, obviously just hundreds, but you know what I'm saying. And then as I walk, I go, okay, Holy Spirit, just highlight who's the person with the neck that you're going to heal now. This is so exciting. And Holy Spirit highlights no one. And I'm like, well, the sun, 3 hours. I get to my car, and I'm like, oh well, not too frustrated. I know God spoke and I know you didn't show. So I'll just leave it at that for now. I'm not going to do something in my flesh because literally, if flesh, what's that going to? So I leave it, I drive there, and it's Friday night. Saturday evening, I sit and I finish preparing the word that I was going to minister the following day in this church in Ermelo that I've never visited in my life, and somebody that has never heard me preach in my life asked me if I want to preach there. So Holy Spirit now organized this. Anyway, I wish I could do all the testimony of what happened that day. It was very funny and very God glorifying. But long story short, it's Saturday night, I'm sitting, I'm finishing the word, and suddenly Holy Spirit says, the 3 and the 6 is for this. It's for tomorrow. And I say, okay, yes, Lord, is right. Anyway, so come this Sunday, I'm ministering at this church. A lot of things happen that's super cool, but there was still like, you know, vulnerable, be obedient to the Holy Spirit. He asked me to dance around this church that I've never been in my life like 3 times. And I'm like, yes, we can just dance in the spirit, or like, you know, and he's like, no, and you need to go. And I'm like, but Lord, they don't know me, and it's not like I can dance. All I can do is like, you know, yes. But I'm going to minister. So I say to Holy Spirit, I probably can't quench you now, and ask just now, you must minister there. And I'm like, because of my heart's desire for God to, you know. So he can dance, say, oor and oor. So at a stage, they're busy with announcements, and he come right by. Because God said 3 times, and I'm not going to disobey the King of Kings that wants to do miracles in that church that day. Anyway, so I get the mic, I go, nice to meet you, Pastor. It's me, the dancing one. And anyway, so we do this sermon, God does amazing things, and at the end, I start saying, okay, there are people here, you're struggling with pain in your neck, or you need healing. It's in the vertebras 3 and 6, or it's around that area. It could be around that area. Guys, it's like a church of like about 200 people. One by one, people start coming to the front, and miraculously they get healed like this. Some of them, it was a deliverance issue, it was a hurt thing, but we pray, and God delivers them one by one. People going, yes, 3 and 6, yes, 3 to 6, yeah, from 2 to 7, yeah, this. There's one gentleman, he's a doctor in his 60s, and he goes, I've got osteoarthritis. And as we lay hands and pray for him, so obviously I'm grabbing the people's there, say, come, we are all practicing and learning together, so now we're all laying hands and like it. And as we do this, he suddenly starts laughing and he goes, ha, 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 and he just relaxes his neck. I'm like, God, you are so creative. And then he lifts it up, this doctor in his, like, at least late 60s, that understands a bit of medical, and he goes, it's healed. Thank you. Anyway, so one by one, God does this. And I'm like, Lord, how exciting and how creative are you? And we are not waiting on God. In certain areas, yes, we are waiting on God. But with regards to everyday life, how Jesus wants to bring down heaven in people's hearts and lives, there's this awesome, these adventures and testimonies that are waiting for you and me every day. And God is just asking, would you just step out of that boat? Take that risk, because it's a bit of a risk that you need to take, because somebody can go, the pain is the same. And then if you want to feel silly about it, you just go, who's on the throne of my life? Is it Mariette or was it Jesus? Because if it's Jesus, it really doesn't matter whether you guys think I'm really amazing after today and whether you guys think, oh, so is he lacking me? Or whatever you want to think. So that's just like a tool that I'm giving you, a tip. When you are struggling to obey Jesus, ask yourself, or you're struggling to obey Holy Spirit, ask yourself, wait a minute, who's on the throne of my life? If it's Jesus, it's all about him, whether I fail or not. I just want to please the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And in the process, other people's necks will be healed and people will receive encouragement. And then when you realize it's Mariette again, I can just go, oh, I repent. For sake, rebuke for Mariette, all funny thing up. I'm like, kom reg. Yes, I repent, Jesus. Amen. And then he gets on the throne. And then you go dance around the church so that miracles can happen during that day, because people's legs grew out, like other stuff happened also during that sermon. Sorry, at the Roy Plain, it was legs. That day was one leg growing out. Anyway, so I just want to say that hope is waiting for us all the time. Hope is waiting. Hope was right next to me during that situation with a car that turned from 1 hour to 2 to 3. I can't even, like, I tried to phone my brother to say I'm coming late, so I can't get hold. It was just this demon car story. But hope was right there going, oh, pick me. Mariette, no, pick me. Leave me, I'm very frustrated and I'm elated. But yeah, that's great. But I mean, when I was ready to listen to Holy Spirit and I just said, wait a minute, Jesus is on the throne, so everything's cool. Oh, I can ask you. So hope is right there, whether it's something that's hectic, traumatic, or just a little bit discomfort, you know, uncomfortable, like what was happening that day with me, because it was just uncomfortable or something else. It's waiting right there. And we're going to look just now at a few scriptures. This is just what does the word say about hope? Like, how do we get it? How does it work? And just before we do that, there's just a few other things that I want to share with you. So a while back, and maybe I shared this with you previously, but I need to share it again. The Lord, I was standing in worship in Joffre, Cape Town, and Holy Spirit had me singing. And after a while, he said, this word is for the church. You need to go and sing it now. And we asked, who is this? And people started raising their hands because the song was about, God was telling me your uphill, the challenging bit. You know, the frustrating bit, you know, where you have to put out your faith, maybe again and again, or maybe it's for the first time, or you're losing maybe hope, or be a bit discouraged, or whatever, and you're like, yeah, but Lord, Jesus is big. Why can't this change? Is there something I don't understand? Unrepented sin? Like, what's the issue? Because why is there no change? Why is the apple staying uphill? You know, which is normal questions to go through our mind sometimes. And then at that stage, Holy Spirit just said, listen, you're uphill. It's the same principle in the natural and in the spiritual. Your uphill is the setup for the downhill. If there wasn't a massive drought, Angus Bachan couldn't listen to the Holy Spirit years ago and put potatoes in dry ground with no rain coming and have a massive harvest, which kick-started, which opened his platform to minister the gospel of salvation through Jesus Christ to many other nations. But if there wasn't that drought, that testimony couldn't happen. So you guys, there's uphills in our lives, and the enemy wants you to feel so overwhelmed, so you just get out of the vehicle and go, you know what? I'm done. I've tried. I'm done. I'm done for whatever reasons. But Jesus is saying, just stay in the boat. Just stay in that vehicle. Just stay in that small group. Just stay in relationship with him. Just stay in relationship with the body. This is the setup for the testimony. For other people's salvation and encouragement, never mind how blessed you're going to be. So your uphill is your setup for the downhill. So I just want to sing that over you. You can close your eyes or keep it open. Doesn't matter. The uphill is a setup for the downhill. The uphill is a setup for the downhill. We're gonna praise you, praise you. We won't get out. The uphill is a setup for the downhill. Your uphill is a setup for the downhill. You're gonna praise him, praise him. You won't get out. Yes, God, I just sing that over every person here, that the uphill is a setup for the downhill, and we're just going to praise you. We're just going to thank you in it, and we're not going to get out, and you will bring the downhill. Not us, not our effort, Lord. We're just going to stick to you. We're just going to stick to praising you, God. Like that song we're singing, you're still beautiful and good in the uphill. You're still beautiful, good, faithful, and almighty, and holy in the downhill, and we will stick to the truth by your grace. We will just give up and give over all the time, God. In Jesus' name, amen. So, there are different people have got different definitions with regards to hope, because we've got different ways of interpreting. So, they're all family, but I'm just going to share one or two of them. The one that I found is the Christian Hope, it's Wiley Online Library. It says, hope is commonly used as to mean a wish. In other words, its strength is the strength of the person's desire, like saying, oh, I hope the Springboks win, man. Yes, I hope. You know, that's like you just going like, yes, I hope this can, you know, I can. What's another word for hope in that context? You know what I'm saying? But then there's the biblical definition. But in the Bible, hope is confident expectation. Hope is confident expectation of what God has promised, and its strength is in his faithfulness. Oh, lekker. So it says, hope is confident expectation of what God has promised, and the strength of it, the strength of this hope, it's inside God's faithfulness. So I'm not hoping in my ability. My hope is not in you. This expectation and waiting, the trust of the expectation, it's in God, and that is hope. I love what Bill Johnson also says. He says, hope is the joyful anticipation of good. You're just in joyful expectation when you're praying for rain for the Binnenland. You're just in joyful expectation when you're praying for somebody's salvation or for something to change in this nation. But there's this joyful expectation that good is going to come. And it's from God, that God gives us his hope. This is a godly hope. Somebody else just said, it's just plain to be expectant. Hope is when we are expectant. What are we looking at, Corinthians? We'll get to the scriptures just now. Thank you so much. We're going to get there just now. So how do we get hope? Where do we get hope? So we can get hope at certain places that's not God, and it can be by accident. So I can have hope because I'm feeling very positive and lucky today. Somebody blessed me or something. I feel like I've got hope. And yes, God does use encouragement of people to encourage us. But there's a place where we can, by accident, start finding hope in our circumstances. Oh, it's going okay. No, it's okay. And when it's not okay, then suddenly that you're struggling maybe with that hope. But we can also just go like, yeah, Jesus, whether I feel lucky, whether I'm in a good mood or good space or relieved for breakthrough in my work or whatever or not, I want my hope to be in you, Jesus. I want my hope to come from you, the living God. With regards to how we get the hope from the living God, there's different ways that we get hope, and one of them is through the Word of God, because His Word is His voice. It's full of His promises. It's full of testimonies of His faithfulness in the past. So even when you are struggling to remember the testimonies in your life, just go to the Word. Because, you know, go read Hebrews 11, which is like a whole bunch of, you know, testimonies of God's faithfulness in the Word. So God's Word gives us fresh hope. We can also, we get hope when we spend time with Him. So His Spirit, His presence, when there's a touch of Him, there's a restoration on the inside that you do not have words for. So we get hope from His Word, we get hope from His presence, being with Him, worshiping God, just coming to church, lying in your bed, maybe the tears are flowing, but you're just saying, I'm just saying yes to God, I still choose you, Jesus. And in that moment, His presence can come. In that moment, His presence can touch you and just bring fresh hope. We get hope by connecting with His body. So always relationship with Jesus, always about the head and also the body. You cannot separate, like a body without a head is dead, you know, and a head without a body is also, it's a dead head. But God is very alive and His bride is alive, whether we say nasty things about her or not. It's His body, it's His bride. So we need to be so wise when we share our hearts with regards to what we think about the different parts of the King of Glory's bride. So when we say yes to a relationship, there can be hope because somebody shares a testimony. There can be hope because somebody goes, Mariet, no man, don't listen to that. I know you know that this is what you're called for. You're not going to give up on the situation. Thank you, friend, because I didn't have hope for it, but you had hope, and now I've got new hope. Thank you. So we can give hope to one another. So that's why it's important that when we spend time with another, we take every gap we can to build each other up, to affirm each other, to encourage each other, to ask, how are you doing? Because if I'm not interested in how you're really doing, God cannot use me to bring fresh hope. So we need to ask and listen and go like, Lord, this is what they're saying, but what are they saying? Because, you know, sometimes you're not sure how to express what's going on. But we can ask Holy Spirit, like, Lord, use me to bring hope in people's life. Like, use me to listen with my spirit, with the ears of my heart. Because remember, hope is right there next to you in that situation. It's right there next to that person in that situation. Because Jesus Christ is hope. The Word of God says Jesus is hope. So Jesus is there the whole time. It's just He's not going to take away our freedom of choice. We can choose. What do I choose? Despair? Do I choose bitterness? You know, when something disappointing happens? Or I can choose like, yeah, but Jesus, how do you feel about this? How do you see this? And maybe Jesus whispers in your ear, the Holy Spirit going, remember that verse? I make all things work together for good. This is how I feel about this. Now, what do you say? Yes, God, okay, give me a testimony. This is after 3 hours of hanging up and down and then frustrating with the little gift bag that's empty. I go, yes, turn it around for a testimony. So He's there the whole time. Hope is with us the whole time. What will we choose, though? What will we just say yes to? You know, because God is waiting and ready, and we can just go like, God, I need fresh hope. I need perspective, because Jesus, when you touch me, when I read your word, things change. I start looking at the challenge through the eyes of God, and suddenly everything changes, but the challenge has stayed the same, but everything here changed because I said yes to Jesus and the truth of the hope in him as the victorious one, as the king, as the one that rose from the dead. So when we say yes to the truth, hope comes into our heart. We cannot say yes to the truth of Jesus and stay the same in a situation. Suddenly it changes here because we see with the truth, with the eyes of heaven, and God wants you. He wants me to see with the eyes of heaven. So that's why it's so important, like we said, our community through his body. We need to encourage one another. It also, it says in Hebrews, like, encourage each other all the more as you see the day approaching. So as time goes by, like, encourage each other even more. In the message, it says, consider, think about ways in which you can stir up good works for one another, like, encourage one another towards good works. So God wants to give you hope. And he wants to give hope through you. He wants to give hope to you, and God wants to give hope through you. And whether it's a one moment at a till paying, say, hey, ma'am, how was your day? That was all right. Cool. But listen, I just want to say, God loves you. You are precious. And I appreciate your friendly smile after a super long day. Thank you so much. You don't know if those three sentences brings brand new hope into somebody's heart that's been maybe feeling like, they're on their phones, they don't even look me in the eye, they don't even see me. We have no idea the power of the value and the love that Jesus has on people and how God wants to communicate it through us to them. Because when I see you, I acknowledge you, I look you in the eyes when I thank you and I take my slip and I smile and I just say, God bless you, ma'am. Or I smile and I say, has anybody today told you that Jesus loves you? And they're going to go, no. And you're going to go, oh. No, I get to. Jesus loves you. And then you can just say, I appreciate you. And maybe they'll go, yeah, no, but I know he loves me. And then suddenly there's this beautiful connection going, high five. So you're my sister from the same mister. Or if it's a guy, I just go, oh, you're like my brother from, brother from the same father or something like that. I can't remember my line. And the other day, the guy at the petrol was like, oh, that's good. I'm going to use it. I'm like, use it? It's not my truth. It's just my rhyme. So God wants to communicate value and truth and love and hope to you and then through you the whole time, whether you're feeling amazing or not. I wasn't jumping up and down in a worship service and then I was like, oh, use this for a testimony. I was feeling like, and then Holy Spirit's like, what will you choose? I sit before you life and death, Deuteronomy 3 verse 19. And then he goes, but choose life. Okay, so it's to be expectant. We get in community. Why do we need hope? Why have God touched me? Why do I need hope? Not even tomorrow, sometimes it's even tonight. Why? Why is that? Because this world is fallen, and it's a process, it's a journey that we walk in being transformed and being renewed. So Jesus says, behold, I make all things new when we say to him, yes, when we are new in Jesus Christ. But there's this process, this journey of getting victory and authority over the different areas of our hearts. You know, bit by bit, God is renewing our hearts, renewing the way we think, then renewing the way we speak and we see through the eyes of Jesus. So bit by bit, because the word also says work out your salvation through fear and trembling. So it's this process, like work it out. There's this process of continuously going, I feel a bit discouraged because this world is broken that I'm visiting for a short while because I'm not from here. I'm a citizen of heaven, but I'm just visiting here for a short while. So a few knocks today or this week or maybe in the meeting. Lord, Jesus is here. Jesus is hope. So I need more hope. I need more Jesus. Jesus, thank you that you are my hope. You are my peace. You are my comfort. So there's this place where we continuously need to get fresh hope from the word, from his presence, from one another. God wants to bring it. He's right there. He's just waiting on us, ready for us. So one or two things I want to quickly share before we go to the scriptures is I want to share from my own life something that happened recently. So God has spoken to me about a few things over a few years, and I had quite a journey where I was doing more things in faith than previously in my life now for a year or two or maybe three. And I just started getting very overwhelmed with things continuously coming to dead ends, not working out. But there's not something I could repent for or be more, you know, I couldn't do something, you know, take more risks or stand more in faith. And it felt like I was going underwater. Here's like the level, you know, here's the sea, the water level. And you're getting tired, so you go, and then you kick a bit and you breathe. But it felt like I was going under the water. And I said to him, I'm crying out to God, crying out to the body, making myself vulnerable to close friends. And it just feels like the response was bloop, 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 you gaan maar heen. So it felt like I was going down and down. And I was just crying, saying something is so wrong. How can I be so over? I would cry in random places, like in the queue at Checkers. Then I would stand there for a moment. I would not be distracted by what I was busy with. And I would remember what was happening in my life, in every, like, whether it's work, finances, relationships, everything at the same time. And I'd be like, oh, yeah, blah, blah. And I wouldn't even pull a face. It would just, like, start walking, running. So, and the people are like, how are you? Then I'm like, blah, so good, blah. And I'm sorry, you kid. And it showed, and then I responded. So it really felt, and another day when there's more clarity, I can minister this word more properly, more effective. But what I'm just trying to say is, 4 or 5 weeks ago, I say to the Lord at the evening service at Stellenbosch, Dr. Connor Becker, Prof. Connor Becker, he's ministering, and I stand there, and I'm like, Lord, so I reached the bottom of the water. I saw this picture of me at the bottom, and I'm like, because this had happened for a few months, and I asked for help or just a release in some of the areas, and nothing was happening. In fact, like, stuff would just go more into reverse, but I'll tell you why just now. And I say to him, I've reached the bottom part, the bottom, like the bottom. And I look at the picture and I go, oh, but I'm not dead. It's like I'm breathing underwater. I feel dead. I feel alone and isolated and dead. Like, I'm reaching out to people, they're reaching out to me, but I still feel overwhelmed with the things that you call me for and how I'm trying, and it's not coming to pass. And I don't have a desire for anything other than the kingdom of heaven to come. That's my number one and my last goal. So I'm like, I don't know what to do. And it felt like I was later sitting on a bunkie there under the water, like on a little seat. And I'm like, God, this is really confusing and new to me. What must I do or say? Or I don't know what else to repent or surrender or anything. And in that moment, God spoke into my heart. So this is after a year or two of going, ek kan nie, ek krak, and then nothing shifting. Oh, sorry that I'm not giving proper details. I'll do that another day. The long story short is, while I'm sitting there under the water in the bunkie on the little bench, I feel Holy Spirit ask me a question. He says to me, Mariette, if I do not keep one of my promises to you that you are walking in faith for because I gave them to you, if nothing ever changes in where you stay, your family life, your finances, or your work, if you stay there under the bunkie, like on the, you feel like you have sunk, don't want to. If you stay like that in this situation of tense and anxiety because you struggle to get work and stuff done 7 days of the week now for 18 months or 2 years, if this never changes, if I bring no relief, will you serve me for all of your days with everything you have? That was his question. And I stood there and I wanted to say yes, but I didn't immediately say yes because I just thought, I can't. I get it in my knee. I can't handle what was happening at that stage for it to continue. And then I stood there, and there's this battle, because I'm like, young Mariette would have gone, yes, everything for Jesus, because if you don't know how long and lonely and sore a journey can be, then it's very easy to go, let's go, yes, go. And now that you know, God is like, if I never change it, if I never bring any relief, no encouragement, no nothing, what? And I stood there and thought about it for a while, and I'm like, I want to say yes, but I will lie if I say yes because I don't have it in me to continue like this. So I'm like, this is strange. I don't know what to say. So now, you know, Holy Spirit is going to and fro, and after a while, I remembered, I can't bring anything to the table apart from my yes. God is not asking, will I be able to survive or anything? He's asking, what's your heart? He gives the grace. He brings the relief. He brings the release. He gives the air underwater if it's needed. And I could go, yes, God, it's still all about you, Jesus. and I don't want it to be about anything else. So thank you for this, because I cannot see my heart. I think I can see my heart, but only certain situations can expose our heart so that we can receive Jesus in that area also. So that part of your heart, that seed can also die, so that it can bring a harvest, so that God's purpose can prevail in your life, so that many others can turn to Jesus. And sometimes it's sore. Sometimes it really sucks. Sometimes it's really lonely, and you can community till you blue, but it's really difficult because death is not a nice thing. And we should stop pretending that it is. When Jesus says, pick up your cross and deny yourself to follow me, there's an element of dying to self. And certain parts of following God is crazy awesome. So much fun, so much different and more creative and more spontaneous than we could ever be. That's so true, that's so God. But there's certain parts of picking up your cross and walking the road that Jesus walked that's not nice. And that doesn't mean that you are out of God's will. That doesn't mean that Satan is bigger and stronger than you thought. He's smaller than you thought next to God, because God is bigger than you thought. It just means that sometimes for the kingdom of heaven to come, there's just areas in our heart that just hasn't fully come to that place of just surrendering everything. And God is very faithful and merciful. He does it bit by bit by bit. So sometimes it feels like you're stuck, but don't listen to that voice. Just go, no, God's just going deeper. Don't tell me we're at square one. God is just going deeper. So in that moment, I also realized while I'm under the water, I'm actually holding God hostage with my disappointment and with the promise that I decided actually that he was supposed to fulfill by now. I was like, oh, I have something to repent for. I just needed to reach the bottom to see it. So I repented and I said, Jesus, your kingdom, your time, your everything in my life. There's nothing here, like, whether I have to audition till I'm 100 before I get work, I will not stop until you tell me don't do it. You know, that's a random example, because I'm going to be 20 seconds on TV next year, so after 7 years I got something. I know, first fruits, go Jesus. My point is just, that following day, it felt like everything just fell off of me. And I became super sick also in that time, and I was like, this is lacquered. And then, because I became sick, I had to cancel certain work events. And because of that, I could sit and listen to God's voice. And I realized, God, if you told me just to cancel these things by faith and be obedient, I probably couldn't, hey? So your grace allowed what the enemy meant for harm to bring about major kingdom shift here in my life. So you guys, the uphill is a setup for the downhill. I don't care how long your uphill is. The longer is, the more you just go flip, all right? Is it going to come? What a massive testimony will come once the downhill comes. So you guys, on the other side of your uphill, there is a downhill. That's how it works. If you go to the dunes in Atlantis or in Namibia, you go up the dune and then there's a down. That's how it works. There cannot be a testimony. There wouldn't be a massive testimony if the Pharisees and the enemy didn't go, let's kill Jesus. Eternal life came through Jesus dying, but then God giving life. So for us, eternal life and different miracles and testimonies now already on earth is going to come as we die, and Jesus brings life. And he is faithful. He will bring to completion what he has started in you. So let's look at what scripture says about hope. So I mentioned it briefly, but I just want to say what basically in that time when I just said yes to God again, he also opened my eyes and I saw that I was holding God hostage with my frustration and my disappointment, because I've wanted certain of his promises, whether it's for people's salvation or for whatever, or reconciliation, for relationships, whatever, to happen at a certain time. And I just listened to the enemy that was saying the whole time on the side, see, God's unfaithful. Oh, but this, but shouldn't, but, and Holy Spirit on the side going, don't give up, don't give up. No, God is busy. He is working behind and in front of the scenes. There's a downhill. The whole time, we just get to choose who we partner with. So there's fresh hope. Hope is right next to you. We can choose hope in every circumstance, in every situation. We can just turn around and go, Jesus, my heart is feeling a bit heavy. I need new hope. Whether it's for you in general, whether it's for somebody that you're praying and you're struggling to pray because, and he is there, and he's ready to give it through his word, through his presence, through his people. 1 Corinthians 13, the message, it says, we don't yet see things clearly. We're squinting in a fog, peering through a mist. But it won't be long before the weather clears and the sun shines bright. We'll see it all then, see it all as clearly as God sees us, knowing him directly just as how he knows us. But for now, until that completeness, we have three things to do to lead us toward that consummation. Trust steadily in God, hope unswervingly, and love extravagantly. And the best of these three is love. So early in Corinthians, like 13, it speaks about like how, you know, prophesying and doing like miracles, you know, all these different things. And then it says, but of all these kingdom things, God sums up the important, the last, the top three is faith, hope, and love. Love being the top one. But can you see that for God, hope is a big deal? It's a big key with regards to seeing the kingdom of heaven come, as we need hope. And it's not I'm psyching myself up. It's up hope. It's I'm surrendering to Christ. My disappointments or just my hopelessness, whatever it is, or my ignorance, it doesn't matter. When we give up and we give over, the kingdom of heaven comes. So in this world, the world says the ultimate failure is giving up, eh? Oh, shame, they gave up and then we won the battle. Look at us, France against England, or like a relational thing or whatever. But with God, the victory starts when I say, I'm giving up, God. I'm giving over to you, both hands surrendering. Isn't that exciting? We win the battle by giving up and giving over. The hard work is here. The hard work is here going, God, you fight for me. There is a battle, but how I win it is by praising you. That song that just says, my weapon is a melody. I'll raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I'll raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody. Such a powerful song. Just saying, I'm going to sing in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder. You're going to hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated. The King is alive. But what will we choose? Will we choose when there's this situation going like, I'm going to raise a hallelujah because hope is going to come out of the ashes because my King is alive? What will we choose in those circumstances? Isaiah 40, 27 to 31. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord and my right hand is disregarded by God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint. And to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths, young people, shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Psalm 147, 10 and 11. Psalm 147. His delight is not in the strength of the horse, nor his pleasure in the legs of a man. But the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him. Yes, listen to this, in those who hope in his steadfast love. So God says, whether you're down and out and whether you feel amazing, when you say, like, God, I'm just in awe of you, because in awe of you is another way of saying I'm in fear of God. My hope is in you. It's not in my circumstances. It's not whether I've had good reports recently or bad ones. Because when I'm full of hope because everything is working really well, you have to ask yourself, is my hope still in Jesus? Because it's easy when things are going well. But when things go rough, it's usually God's grace to reveal to you by accident you haven't been placing your hope in him actually for a while. So his grace comes to shake things up so that the things that are not of him will move away and the things that are of him will remain after the shaking. In fact, it will come clearer. So God says he will give us that hope. We can ask him. We're going to get there just now. And he says God takes pleasure in us when we hope in him. So we don't have to perform. We don't have to be like this or that. He's asking, like, who would surrender and say, I'm just surrendering to the hope of God. I'm just choosing hope in him. Colossians 1, 27. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ where? Close to you, somewhere, church. Christ in you is the hope of glory. So God wants you to get fresh hope and then from that hope hand it out. God wants to give hope to you and God wants to give hope through you. Because Christ is in you and you are in Christ. Romans 15, verse 4 and then verse 13. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. So God wants to give you hope by looking at the Word of God. He says one of the reasons the scriptures were written is for our hope. Because scripture points to Jesus and to God, because scripture is God as Jesus made manifest. It's the word, it's the voice, it's the heart of the Father who is hope. And he wants to give you more hope so we can just turn to him. We can always turn to the word. We can always turn to his presence. We can always turn to his body for fresh hope. Verse 13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. So God is saying, like, check this out. May the God of hope fill you. So God is this God of hope filling us with joy and peace so that we can believe. So he fills us so we can believe. And then because we believed, because God filled us up, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we will abound. We will like be full and be in hope. So how crazy is it? We need God to need God. I can't repent if God doesn't first open my eyes. So I'm not even turning to Jesus because, oh, look at her, humbled herself. Nee wat, I'm in my chops and deceived, wanting my own glory and stuff while I sang Jesus in your heart. It's like, oh, and anyway. So my point is just, I wanted to give you more examples of how Murphy can be, but you get the point. My point is just, it's God's grace that allows the shaking so my eyes can open, so I can turn to him and receive hope. So how crazy, verse 13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that the power of the Holy Spirit, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Oh, don't know about you, but for me this is a good word. Amen, Mariet. That's good scripture you're reading to us. John Bevere taught me this. When the people are silent, he goes, amen, John, that's good preaching. It's fine. I don't need you. I'll encourage myself. I'm like, yes, my dumb Hans. Okay, Psalm 33. Verse 16 to 22. The king is not saved by his great army. A warrior is not delivered by his great strength. The war horse is a false hope for salvation. And by its great might, it cannot rescue. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his steadfast love, that he may deliver their soul from death and keep them alive in famine. God gives us life, and then he keeps us alive. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield, for our heart is glad in him because we trust in his holy name. Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in you. So God is giving us hope so we can hope in him, so that his promises can be accomplished through our lives. That's why he gets all the glory. Because he opened my eyes so that I could repent, so that I could receive healing and authority and the power of Jesus through me bringing that to the other people. God healed me of depression, then I pray and other people get healed also. So he wants to bring hope to you and he wants to bring hope through you. All he's asking is who's willing. Romans 5, 1 to 5. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into the grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, the shaking, knowing that suffering, shaking, uphills, produce endurance. And endurance produces character. And character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, but because God's love has been poured into the hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So the shaking times, if we just say yes to Jesus in the uphills, if we keep on just saying yes to Jesus in the shaking times, then the end result would be hope, more hope. And what's on the other side of hope? More kingdom, more Jesus. Hallelujah. God is so good. He's so gracious. Even in the times when we are angry and frustrated, if God opens our eyes because we ask him, open my eyes. Give me perspective. We suddenly see the shaking was his grace and his answer to my prayer to make me whole and make me more like Jesus, to make me a vessel so that more Jesus and more Holy Spirit can come through me and change people's lives. So hallelujah for shakings, hallelujah for the uphills, hallelujah for those difficult times where God's grace is with us, holding your hand. When you want to teach your child, a little child, a lesson, you do not leave them. You do not tell them, run over the street while I cannot see you so you can learn how to look across the road. You would never do that. And God is a perfect God. He's even more erg with us as his children. So when we take our hand saying, look to your right, look to the left, and you take the hand and you're teaching the child, although they may be nervous because there's maybe loud trucks and aren't used to it. Just like that with us. There are times where we're a bit overwhelmed. We're not used to the size of the challenge. We're not used to the size of where I need to stretch my faith to now. God is there holding your hand, teaching you, saying, come, I will bring the increase of faith, of hope in your heart. I'm just asking, would you continuously, all of this, surrender it to me? Because that's how you get it. That's how we win. Ek hier op en ek hier oor. I give up and I give over. Last scriptures. Corinthians 4, 16 to 18. So we do not lose heart. Through our outer self is wasting away. Our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentarily affliction, is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient. That's a very grand name for temporary. But the things that are unseen are eternal. So God says we don't lose heart, we don't lose hope, because what we see around us, there's brokenness, there's deterioration. God says, for this light, momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. So we've got hope because we understand this light affliction, this light for a few seconds, and then Jesus is coming back forever. And then we will be prepared for the weight of the glory of God that will come because of how God made us whole and how God renewed us and created Jesus in the areas of our heart bit by bit by bit. His faithfulness stands. Romans 8:28, the scripture that started that testimony in the beginning. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. So if God calls out to you and you say yes to him, you are part of his house, you're part of his body, you're part of his family, is what the word says. And you can please stand with me, and Pietri or the other Kalewski brother can come to the front. Let's close our eyes. Lord Jesus, thank you, number one, that you are hope. Thank you that you live inside of us, Jesus. You are our hope of glory. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Church, say after me, Christ in me, the hope of glory. One more time. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Thank you, Jesus. That wherever we go, whether it's a sticky situation over a longer period of time or whether it's just in a few moments, you are right there with us, ready to give us heaven's perspective, heaven's hope. Thank you that we need you to need you. You're not asking us if you will be very strong and brave and do these many things, then I will answer to you. No, you just say in James, draw near to me, and I will draw near to me, to you. Turn to me, and I will turn to you. So thank you, Jesus, that you want to give so much fresh hope to the people today. I don't know if you're here and you need to, like me, just release certain disappointments that you didn't even know you were holding against God. certain frustrations being there because you're holding certain things that you would like, but by now it should have shifted or changed, or that person should have been saved by now or just reconciled or whatever. Or disappointments because of the brokenness in this world happens, and it's not because of something you did or did not do. Even those we need to say, God, I'm just surrendering to you because you are my hope and you are the one that I look to. So right there where you're standing, I'm not going to call you to the front. We're actually going to minister like this, and then two by two or three by three, we're going to pray for each other in just a few moments. So if you want to respond now and you just want to say, God, I'm holding on to frustration and disappointment and I didn't know it. I know I'm sometimes tired and anxious and I don't understand exactly why, but I realize now I was holding on to frustration and disappointment, and I just want to repent from it now and let it go. You can just clench your fist symbolically if you want. It's just symbolic. And just say, I'm opening it up and I'm just letting it go, Jesus. If that's you, won't you just release it to him right now if you want to? God's not going to force you. I'm not going to force you. But Holy Spirit is right here. He wants to take those loads. He wants to take it. He wants to take it. Those bags of sand that you are holding on to, and you thought it was just your handbag or your luggage or whatever, but it's actually heaviness that you are holding on to, and you want to let go today. Just say to him right now, Jesus, I'm opening up my hand, letting go of this. And I just repent in Jesus' name for carrying the things that you've already paid for. You could just open up your hand saying, God, I'm just letting it go now. I'm letting it go now in Jesus' name. And then you can just lift up your hand to heaven and say, here's my hand, Jesus. Fill it with hope. Here's my hands, Jesus. Would you fill it with hope? Because when I repent in the name of Jesus, I can receive everything that God has for me. Because only and Jesus is fully the access to what God has for you. Thank you, God. Right now from heaven, you are touching hands. You are touching hearts. And you're just lifting those heavy stuff as they give it up to you, God. Thank you, God, that we can say sorry for by accident or on purpose holding you hostage with when we thought you were supposed to perform certain promises. God, it's your time. It's your world. We belong to you. We just give everything to you. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, that you are lifting, that those bags just fall. There's not a fight. When we surrender to Jesus, to the blood of Jesus, it falls off. And we just receive the blood of Jesus that makes us whole and makes us new, God, in those areas of heaviness. We just receive, God, those helium balloons that are full of hope, full of hope, full of hope. Thank you, God, you're releasing hope right now in Jesus' name. Yeah, we wait on you, God. Thank you that you are speaking to us, God. Thank you that you've been speaking to us this whole time, Lord. If there's a certain area that you've been standing in faith for, but you're struggling to you've maybe lost hope. Like my mother started praying for her father's salvation when she was 14. And he came to salvation at the age of 98. I could pray with him and he said yes to Jesus after being in between an agnostic atheist at 98. He said yes. So there were lots of times for my mother to say yes to the enemy saying, but see, God's unfaithful. But in the same time, she could just choose hope. And one day I have a daughter that would pray with her. And Jesus performed the miracle of salvation. So if there's an area where you've started to lose hope and you just need fresh hope again, whether it's praying for somebody else, praying for yourself, doesn't matter. We're just going to two by two say to our friend, the person I came with, if you're not comfortable, you can sit on your own and talk to Jesus. But if you can, please, would you speak to somebody now and say, this is the area that I've lost a little bit of hope, and I'm just, you with being a witness, I'm bringing it into the light, and I'm going to ask for Jesus for fresh hope. And then we're just going to pray for one another. And while we are praying two by two, I just want to say, if you are here today and you have never surrendered your life fully to Jesus, you believe in Jesus maybe, or you know he's the truth, but you've never come to that place of saying, Jesus, I surrender all to you. I want you to be the king of my life. I want my goal in life to know you. I want my goal in life to be to know you and to introduce others to you in whichever way you want, God. then would you come to the front, myself, Retief, any of us, we'd love to pray with you and say yes to God's heart, to you responding to his invitation because he loved you first. So if there's anybody like that today, don't leave this place before you say yes to the love of God, but that's still your choice. Okay, amen. So we're going to pray two by two now. Somebody that you're comfortable with. You can also pray in groups of three. What you're going to do now is you're just going to, if you're not sure, just wait on Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, show me where have I lost a little bit of hope. And we just say yes and amen to the rain that's coming to the Binneland, to the dry areas of South Africa. Can we quickly pray for that? Lord Jesus, Lord, like you are bringing rain in the spirit for this nation as we turn to you for salvation and for redemption of a nation, we turn to you for the breaking of the drought, God, in the areas that is drought stricken the worst in many years. We say, Jesus, our hope is only in you. We humble ourselves and we say we cannot save ourselves. Sorry for where we've trusted in the legs of man, in vehicles, in our own systems and businesses and plans. We trust in you. We turn to you, Jesus. Forgive us and heal our land, God, with rain. Do a miracle and bring the rain in the areas of drought in the South African nation, in Namibian nation. Many are turning to you, God, and we know that you are the answer. But thank you, Jesus. Right now, you're going to bring rain in areas where it's been dry in hearts, some for a few days, some for many years. Amen. Okay, you can pray two by two. Just asking, just bringing one or two things that came up to you, came to mind, realizing, oh, this is the area where I need fresh hope, and then just praying for one another, just receiving that hope.
You guys can slowly finish up. I'm just going to close for those that want to grab a coffee, whose hope is set in Kit's coffee this morning. None of us, obviously. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for Mariette. Thank you, Lord, for who she is and what she carries of you. Thank you for the beautiful gift, and may what she's given to us and sown into our lives multiply into her life and ministry. And thank you, Lord, just for the hope that she carries. Christ in her, the hope of glory. And we thank you for that. Multiply that and bless her as you bless us and also our family that can't be here today. In Jesus' name, have your way this week, Father. Amen. Amen. You guys can carry on, grab a coffee, and have an amazing week. God bless.